So this next song is about trust, and you can sit down if you want to, but we're gonna keep singing. If you want to stay standing, you may. But we're gonna talk about a little thing called trust. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Also, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them like around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been the fourth man in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. My Savior, the one.
So remember that verse today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in through him, all things can be made true. Thank you. You may be seated. Now it's time to welcome Connie Ellis up to the stage for our first hour teaching. Everybody give Connie a round of applause. Pulling double duty today.
You're welcome. Okay, am I on?
I think you are.
Yay! Good morning. Perfect song. Thank you so much. Beautiful. And we do trust in the Lord, because he will never fail. Okay, just before we get started, I wanted to let you know that in your booklet on pages 6, 7, and 8 is the week 2 study. And what I put in the booklet was basically what I'm going to cover, some of the Bible verses, some of the main points. And I just put some lines underneath each one of the points so that you could take some notes if you feel like it, something that might touch you. So let's start with prayer, ladies. Dear Lord, give us the grace to trust you, to trust your timing and your plan, even when we don't understand. Strengthen us to see everything from your perspective and to believe that you are working everything for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. The same verse that Casey just talked about, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's a very well-known Bible verse, right? So how well do we know or do what it teaches us? Especially when things go a little sideways in life. I looked up the definition of trust, and it said in the dictionary, a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Today, ladies, I'm hoping to give us some godly pointers to help us build that trust and find that strength in our Lord. At the beginning of each year, I choose a word, my word for the year. Last year, in 2025, my word for the year was trust. And that's why I picked this subject to teach you today. I wrote that word, I have a desk calendar, and I wrote that word on the frame of my desk calendar. Trust is my word for the year. So I saw it every day when I sat at my desk. It reminded me of how I must depend on God for everything in my life. Even when I start to question what's happening at a particular moment or a particular time in my life, I have to remember to trust that God has a plan. God has a plan. That's what my shirt says. Even if I don't see that plan or have an inkling about that plan, or what that plan could be, I have to trust him. Trusting means choosing. Last week, Linda talked about choosing God. Basically, choose Jesus, choose God. choosing to trust him even when we're afraid. Have you ever seen a little child pressing into his or her parents when they're afraid? Children trust their parents, especially when they're scared. Pressing hard is a picture of trust. God is our Father, we are his children, and he wants us to press into him when we're afraid. Psalm 56:3 tells us, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. David always trusted in God, even when he was in perilous situations. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years because they didn't trust God. They were fearful, and they constantly defied him. What should have been an 11-day journey took 40 years because they didn't trust in what God told them. Because of fear, not faith. Not trust. Isaiah wanted the people to find peace in God, even in turmoil. In chapter 26, verse 3, Isaiah said, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And then Jeremiah 29:11 says, and I love this verse, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah preached this to the exiles in Babylon when they were living in captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar. Although their entire lives had been turned upside down and they were dragged off to a foreign land, they had to trust that God was with them and that he had a plan for them. How hard could that have been for them, ladies? Could you imagine? I can't imagine being taken away from my home and everything familiar in it, placed in a strange place with a completely different culture. Just think about that. Trusting God is one of those truths that we think we understand when we're called upon to do it. And then we discover that there's more to it than we realized. One thing to understand is that we are commanded to trust in God. Trusting God is foundational to our relationship with him. Throughout the Bible, we're encouraged to place our faith and confidence in God's wisdom, his timing, and his love. Those Bible verses remind us that when we trust in God's plan, we find peace, direction, and assurance. No matter the circumstances, trusting God allows us to experience his faithfulness. Just like that song that we sang earlier talked about God's faithfulness. My favorite Bible verse is, "Be still and know that I am God." A lot of you know that. It's Psalm 46:10. It's tattooed on my wrist. It's on plaques on my walls in my house. It's printed on my checkbook cover. Thank you, Dee, for giving me that checkbook cover. It's even on my car's license plate. You'll see a red CRV that says 4T610. You don't know how many times I've had to tell myself to be still. Hard for me. Hard for a lot of us, right? And to try not to orchestrate what God already knew was going to happen. It's just a matter of trust. And then we're told to wait on the Lord. How's that working for all of you? I know that's hard. There's times when we have to wait. We wait for medical test results. We wait for a loved one to come home. We wait for the oven to preheat. Do you get impatient with that? I know I do. So many situations can make us wait. David waited 15 years before he became king. Joseph waited 22 years before he saw God's plan for him. Sarah waited 10 years for Isaac. And Moses waited 40 years before God called him. Trusting God will help us to wait on him when he delays or is silent regarding our prayers or the fulfillment of his promises. But ladies, if he delays, it's for a good reason. Sometimes we can get really impatient when we're in a rush to get somewhere. Like this morning when I was trying to get here and there was all big long line of traffic. And we have to stop also at a half dozen red lights. But this, ladies, could be God's way of avoiding an accident that might have happened just ahead of us. And we could have been one of the victims in that accident. So his actions are founded on his wisdom and love and his protection. And we have to trust that. Psalm 33:20-22 says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. God is trustworthy. We have to believe that. How often do we put our trust in cultural icons? Icons like the house that we put all our resources into to make it look the way we want it to look. The job that requires all of our precious time. The family, who for some of us may not be our security or our safety net. The bank account that just never seems to be enough. All those things fade away, ladies, but God never fades away. We have to trust in his character and believe in his attributes, such as his faithfulness, his love, and his power. Sometimes we worry and we fret because we can't see what God is doing in our lives. Even if things don't make sense, we can trust in his deliverance and his protection. And one thing is always clear. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's from John 14:6. Some of you may not agree with this, but I have always believed, ever since I was young, that my life is a book. And each day is a chapter in that book. And that book was written by God. I've always told my friends, if they would have told me 50 years ago that I would be living in Arizona, because I'm a city girl from back east, married to a farmer from Kansas, I'd have told them they were crazy. But you see, being a back east girl, that was the farthest thing from my mind. I know now that God led me to Phoenix, Arizona, to meet my wonderful husband of 40 years, even though I didn't know it then. He knows everything about our lives, and he knows each day, what happens each day, and when our lives will come to an end. We have no control over what happens in our lives, even though we try to control everything. We have to trust in him with all our hearts. So how do we trust in the Lord with all our hearts? The first thing is, don't depend on you. In Proverbs 3, Solomon knew that trust is exactly where we must start. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We have to unlearn the lessons we've taught ourselves that say we can only depend on ourselves. But if we live the life that God intends for us to live, he calls us to unlearn those lessons. Instead, we're meant to rest in his understanding and not ours. But sometimes trusting in him completely like that can be really tough, right? So each day we must consciously lay aside our own plans and expectations and surrender to his plans. But what if we don't feel like we can trust in him like that? Here's what we can do. Cry out to God and pray, pray, pray. Right, Becky? That's it. Surrendering to God begins with our lips and our thoughts. We need to cry out to him to show that dependence on him. Psalm 55:17 tells us, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He hears us, ladies. All we have to do is acknowledge him in prayer. Trusting God could also be a daily practice. We can start our day in prayer. Ask for wisdom to start our day with a reliance and a trust in him. Put our hope in him. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us even as we hope in you. And that is Psalm 33:20-22, and it's not in your handout. In prayer, we must regularly practice gratitude and acknowledge the things we're thankful for so that we can cultivate a trusting mindset. How many times do you pray in the morning and thank the Lord for all of the blessings he has given you? That's one of the last things I say at night before I fall asleep is, thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the day. We can also meditate on scripture. Keep those Bible verses close and read them to reinforce your faith and trust. Then pray and pray some more. Talk to God in prayer. Share your feelings with him, both the good and the difficult. He wants to hear it all, ladies. He doesn't really care if you complain. He's there to listen. When we pray, we admit that his ways are higher than our ways. And we show that we're leaving our troubles and burdens and dreams in his capable hands. The Bible promises that when we reach out in prayer to God, he hears us. Every morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Again, that's Psalm 55:17 from David. The next thing we can do is to run from evil. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So much in our world can clutter. It can clutter up our relationship with God. In 1 John 2:16, he describes these things as the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in our lives. In other words, ladies, our blessings can easily become our stumbling blocks. When we think of them as what we deserve or need to be happy, then they become our idols. Instead, our lives work best when we remember the true sources of our blessings, and that is God. And we can focus on the things that please Him. When we pursue Him and not the idols in our lives, we find abundant life. All we have to remember to do each day is trust in His guidance. God wants us to be first in His lives, in our lives, I'm sorry. He wants us to be first in our lives. How many times do we put other things first before we even think about God? He's blessed us with so many things, and He loves us more than anyone. In Psalm 23, verses 1 to 2, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters." These verses highlight God's provision and His care. He has a purposeful and hopeful plan for us. We learned this well in the winter session when we studied Psalm 23 in depth with Jessica. Additionally, Romans 8:28 tells us that God works for our good, even in hardship. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And that is, again, Romans 8:28. And Psalm 34:17 states, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles." Then there's Philippians 4:19. That says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. God promises to be with us through every circumstance. In Isaiah 41:10, He tells us, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Joshua 1:9 also tells us, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The central part of God's role is the salvation offered to us through Jesus. Acts 4:12 tells us salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What can be more precious than that? So moving on, what should we know about how to put our whole trust in God? Let's understand our part and God's part in it. This is really hard to read up on the screen because the print is kind of small, but it's in your handout, so you can see it there. Our part is to follow God's lead, and His part is to provide what we need. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." And then our part is, don't be afraid, trust God. And His part is to equip us to do all things. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" then our part is to learn to be at peace. And God's part is to turn trauma into traction. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. And then our part is to be true to his calling, and his part is to be in charge. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So what can we take away from today's lesson? We can trust God in hard times by letting the Bible remind us of his goodness, his power, and his purpose. Real faith, ladies, means trusting in God in the hard times by letting the Bible remind us of his goodness, power, and purpose. I already said that. Real faith means trusting God, not just hoping in a specific outcome. The Bible is full of many imperfect people who faced many challenges, yet God still came through, and their stories give us hope. So what's our focus? All we have to do is focus in the trust that our bridge to peace, that he is the trust to our bridge to peace, even in uncertainty. I have one more. Little tidbit that I'd like to share. Beginning on Sunday of Holy Week, which was just a couple of weeks away, so it's pretty fresh in our minds, each day on Facebook, our senior pastor Mark here at ALC posted reflections of the last words of Jesus when he was nailed to the cross. With his permission, I'd like to share what he posted on Good Friday, when Jesus cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he breathed his last breath. Mark wrote, in the midst of questions, in the midst of evil, in the midst of doubt, our Heavenly Father is always trustworthy. May the power and wonder of the crucifixion of Jesus penetrate your heart and your life. May you put your trust in Christ, our Passover Lamb, who takes away our sin by paying the penalty himself on our behalf. Ladies, Jesus was our sacrificial lamb, and through his death and resurrection, we have been cleansed of our sins and have been given the right to enter into heaven, to spend a glorious and everlasting life with him. The only thing we have to do is to entrust our lives to him. God bless you all, and have a wonderful second hour.